Preface. In collecting the following poems, I have to thank the editors and proprietors of the periodicals in which certain of them have appeared for permission to reclaim them. Now that the miscellany is brought together, some lack of concord in pieces written at widely severed dates, and in contrasting moods and circumstances, will be obvious enough. This I cannot help, but the sense of disconnection, particularly in respect of those lyrics penned in the first person, will be immaterial when it is borne in mind that they are to be regarded, in the main, as dramatic monologues by different characters. As a whole, they will, I hope, take the reader forward, even if not far, rather than backward. I should add that some lines in the early dated poems have been rewritten, though they have been left substantially unchanged. Th. September 1909. The Revisitation. As I lay awake at nighttime in an ancient country barrack known to ancient cannoneers, and recalled the hopes that heralded each seeming brave and bright time of my primal purple years, much it haunted me that, nigh there, I had borne my bitterest loss when one who went, came not again. In a joyless hour of discord, in a joyless hued July there, a July just such as then. And as thus I brooded longer, with my faint eyes on the feeble square of one lit window frame, a quick conviction sprung within me, grew, and grew yet stronger, that the month night was the same, too, as that which saw her leave me on the rugged ridge of Waterstone, the peewits plaining round. And a lapsing 20 years had ruled that as it were to grieve me, I should near the once loved ground. Though but now a war-worn stranger chance had quartered here, I rose up and descended to the yard. All was soundless, save the trooper's horses tossing at the manger, and the sentry keeping guard. Through the gateway I betook me down the high street, and beyond the lamps, across the battered bridge, till the country darkness clasped me, and the friendly shine forsook me, and I bore towards the ridge, with a dim unknown emotion saying softly, "Mall my reason, now at midnight, to be here." Yet a sleepless swain of 50 with a brief romantic notion may retrace a track so dear. Thus I walked with thoughts half-uttered up the lane I knew so well, the gray, gaunt, lonely lane of Slyre, and at whiles behind me, far at sea, a sullen thunder muttered as I mounted high and higher. Till, the upper roadway quitting, I adventured on the open droughty downland thinly grassed, while the spry white scuts of conies flashed before me, earthward flitting, and an arid wind went past. Round about me bulged the barrows as before, in antique silence immemorial funeral piles, where the sleek herds trampled daily the remains of flint-tipped arrows mid the thyme and chamomiles. And the sarsen stone there, dateless, on whose breast we had sat, and told the zephyrs many a tender vow, held the heat of yester sun, as sank thereon one faded mateless from those far fond hours till now. Maybe flustered by my presence rose the peewits, just as all those years back, wailing soft and loud, and revealing their pale pinions like a fitful phosphorescence up against the cope of cloud, where their dulcome exclamations seemed the voicings of the self-same throats I had heard when life was green, though since that day uncounted frail forgotten generations of their kind had flecked the scene. And so, living long and longer in a past that lived no more, my eyes discerned there, suddenly, that a figure broke the skyline first in vague contour, then stronger, and was crossing near to me. Some long-missed familiar gesture, something wonted, struck me in the figure's pause to list and heed, till I fancied from its handling of its loosely wrapping vesture that it might be she indeed. 'Twas not reasonless. Below there in the vale had been her home, the nook might hold her even yet, and the downlands were her father's fief. She still might come and go there. So I rose, and said, "Annette." With a little leap, half frightened, she withdrew some steps, then letting intuition smother fear in a place so long accustomed, and as one whom thought enlightened, she replied, "Had that voice? Here. S. Annette. And did the occasion of our marching hither make you think I might walk where we two apostrophe O, I often come," she murmured with a moment's coy evasion. is not far, and think of you. Then I took her hand, and led her to the ancient people's stone whereon I had sat. There now sat we, and together talked, until the first reluctant shyness fled her, and she spoke confidingly. "'Tea is just as ere we parted,' said she, brimming eye with joy. "'And when, then, came you here, and why? Dear, I could not sleep for thinking of our trystings when twin-hearted.' She responded, "'Nor could I, here are few things I would, rather than be wandering at this spirit hour lone lived, my kindred dead on this wold of well-known feature I inherit from my father. Night or day, I have no dread. I wonder whether any heartstring bore a signal thrill between us twain or no. Some such influence can, at times, they say, draw severed souls together. I said, dear, we'll dream it so. Each one's hand the other's grasping, and a mutual forgiveness won, we sank to silent thought, a large content in us that seemed our ended lives reclasping, and contracting years to naught. Till I, maybe overweary from the lateness, and a wayfaring so full of strain and stress for one no longer buoyant, to a peak so steep and eerie, sank to slow unconsciousness. How long I slept I knew not, but the brief warm summer night it slid when, to my swift surprise, a red abedging sun, of glory chambered mortals view not, was blazing on my eyes. From the Milton woods to Dole Hill all the spacious landscape lighting, and around about my feet flinging tall thin tapering shadows from the meanest mound and molehill, and on trails the ewes had beat. She was sitting still beside me, dozing likewise, and I turned to her, to take her hanging hand, when, the more regarding, that which like a specter shook and tried me in her image then I scanned. That which time's transforming chisel had been tooling night and day for 20 years, and tooled too well, in its rendering of crease where curve was, where was raven, grizzle pits, where peonies once did dwell. As he had wakened, and perceiving, I surmise, my sigh and shock, my quite involuntary dismay, up she started, and her wasted figure all throughout it heaving said, ah, yes, I am thus by day. And you really wince and wonder, that the sunlight should reveal you such a thing of skin and bone, as if unaware a death's head must of need lie not far under flesh whose ears outcount your own? S. That movement was a warning of the worth of man's devotion. Yes, sir, I am old, said she, and the thing which should increase love turns it quickly into scorning, a dear new one heart from me. Then she went, ere I could call her, with the too proud temper ruling, that had parted us before, and I saw her form descend the slopes, and smaller grow and smaller, till I caught its course no more. True, I might have dogged her downward. But it may be, though I know, not, that this trick on us of time disconcerted and confused me. Soon I bent my footsteps downward, like to one who had watched a crime. Well I knew my native weakness, well I know it still. I cherished her approach like physic wine, for I saw in that emaciate shape of bitterness and bleakness a nobler soul than mine. Did I not return, then, ever? Did we meet again? Mend all? Alas, what greyhead perseveres? Soon I got the root else with her. Since that hour I have seen her never. Love is lame at 50 years. A Tramp Woman's Tragedy 182. I, from Winyard's Gap, the livelong day, we beat afoot the northward way we had traveled times before. The sun blaze burning on our backs, our shoulders sticking to our packs, by fossway, fields, and turnpike tracks we skirted sad Sedge Moor. 20 miles we jaunted on, my fancy man, and jeering John, and Mother Lee, and I, and, as the sun drew down to west, we climbed the toilsome Polden crest, and saw, of landscape sights the best, the inn that beamed thereby. 3 months we had padded side by side, side by side through the great forest, black moor wide, and where the parrot ran. We'd faced the gusts on Menda Bridge, had crossed the Yeo unhelped by bridge, been stung by every marshwood midge, I and my fancy man. Lone inns we loved, my man and I, King's Stag, Wind whistle high and dry, he horse on Hintock green, the cozy house at Winyard's Gap, the hut renowned on Breezy Nap, and many another wayside tap, where folk might sit unseen. Thee, now as we trudged, oh deadly day, oh deadly day, I teased my fancy man in play and wanton idleness. I walked alongside jeering John, I laid his hand my waist upon, I would not bend my glances on my lover's dark distress. Fly, dust pulled and top, at last we won, and gained thee in the sink of sun far famed as Arshall's Elm. Beneath us figured Tor and Lee, from Mendip to the western sea I doubt, if finer sight there be within this royal realm. Fly, inside the settle all for a row we sat, I next to John, to show that he had wooed and won. And then he took me on his knee, and swore it was his turn, to be my favored mate, and motherly passed to my former one. Then in a voice I had never heard, my only love to me. Knee word, my lady, if you please. Whose is the child you are like to bear? His? After all my months so care? God knows 'twas not. But, oh despair! I nodded still to tease. Ix. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.